A very imaginative, creative, and humorous book has recently been published about the fundamentals of Bible prophecy. Stay tuned for an interview with its author.
Lamb and Lion Ministries presents Christ in Prophecy, a program that focuses on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy, showing how current events in the news relate to biblical predictions of end time events and the soon return of Jesus. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Reagan.
Greetings in the name of Jesus, our blessed hope, and welcome to Christ in Prophecy. My colleague Nathan Jones and I have as our special guest today, Todd Hampson, a very creative artist, an excellent writer who has produced a delightful book about the fundamentals of Bible prophecy. The book is titled, The Nonprofit's Guide to the End Times. Welcome to Christ in Prophecy, brother.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here, Todd.
Appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
Hey, you are an animator, a professional illustrator, and yet you made a book on Bible prophecy. How did you leap from animation to prophecy?
Well, you know, I always tell people, I think God has a sense of humor because he puts odd mixes in people.
Okay.
And so my background is as an artist and an illustrator and an animation producer, but I've always had a love for Bible prophecy. And honestly, I think it stems from when I was 13 and I first heard about the Lord. I had all these questions about how do you know the Bible's true? How do you know Jesus was God? All that kind of stuff. All apologetics in nature, but I didn't know that at the time. But one of the things that really convinced me that the Bible was from God was fulfilled Bible prophecy.
Excellent.
So really, since my salvation, I've had a love for and an interest in it, and over the years, I've just studied it more and more in depth.
Huh. Well,
did you come to the Lord when you were a teenager?
I was 13, yes, sir.
13, yeah. But you didn't grow up in a Christian home.
I did not. I grew up, I believed in evolution. I didn't believe in God unless I was mad at him. you know, I really didn't.
How'd you come to the Lord then?
Well, it's funny. God really tracked me down. Some friends of ours invited me to a camp. And little did I know it was a Christian camp. I just heard about all the fun things with it. So it was a two-week Christian camp. And it was the first time I ever clearly heard the gospel presented.
Ah.
And when I left the camp, I wasn't saved, but my camp counselor said, asked me if I was saved. And I said, no. I said, I still got a lot of questions. This is all new to me. And he said, I'm going to be praying that God puts people in your path and that you become saved. Well, long story short, 2 years later, I wound up in a private school. And my art teacher was a Christian and was also my Bible teacher in that school. And he really answered a lot more of my questions. Mm-hmm. And it was through that in the eighth grade was when I became a Christian.
Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. That's great.
And have you always wanted to be an illustrator and animator?
You know, even as a kid, I was always drawing and stuff. And
you were the kid doodling?
I was the kid doodling.
Did you draw cartoons?
Drew cartoons. I loved, you know, just character design. Yeah. But I never thought I could do it as a career. You know, I just thought it was something I was good at, and I never thought about doing it as a living. But once I was in high school, it was really the only thing I was good enough at to go to college for. So I went to college for art. And it kind of just snowballed.
So where did you get your art training?
I went to the Corcoran College of Art and Design in D.C. and then finished up at University of Maryland.
Do you have a family?
I do. I've got my wife, Tracy, and I've got three kids, Daniel, Natalie, and Luke. So I've got one who's in college, go Bulldogs. He's at University of Georgia. one who's in high school, one in middle school.
So, oh, my, wow. So, and you live in Georgia?
We live in Augusta, Georgia, yes, sir.
Okay. Has your animation always been in the Christian realm, or did you do other secular type work first?
Well, since I launched Timbuktoons, it's the primary client has always been faith-based and family-friendly entertainment, children's ministry, but also we have pitched shows to Disney, Cartoon Network, The Hub, you know, really just trying to be salt and light in the animation industry.
And you work with Phil Vischner of VeggieTale fame, right?
We do, yeah. We've produced a lot of things for him over the years. We're working on a few things for him right now. And that's been a blessing. He's a really creative guy, and, animation is his thing, so...
Well, how in the world did you learn Bible prophecy?
You know, it was kind of a process. The first thing I did, like I said, I'd always had an interest. But when I was in my early 20s, I did a few inductive studies to just figure out Revelation on my own because it was kind of confusing to me. And then later I took a couple audit courses at a local Bible college. And my pastor at the time, he was very knowledgeable and really solid on
very
prophecy.
Unusual.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And unusual to find pastors that know anything about Bible prophecy.
It is. I was blessed, and that was the first church I was a member of. And
I think the Lord had a plan for your life.
That seems to be the case. I swear His hand is on my life for whatever reason, because despite me, He's doing some fun things through me. So
now the title of your book is The Nonprofit's Guide to the End Times, and what do you mean by nonprofit?
So this character right here,
he's the nonprofit.
He's the nonprofit, and it's
he actually is a guy who thinks he's a prophet, but he doesn't have a clue.
Exactly, he's clueless. He gets prophecy wrong, and he's a terrible businessman. So he's a nonprofit on two levels.
So he's a nonprofit on two levels.
Yeah.
Well, the subtitle of your book is Bible Prophecy for Everyone. Yes, so what does that mean?
You know, when I talk to other believers, a lot of them are either not interested in Bible prophecy, or scared by it, or think it's too complex for them to understand. So, and I'm kind of the nonprofit myself. I've never been to seminary. I've never, worked full time at a, church or anything like that. I'm just a lay leader at a church. But I wanted people to see, if I can figure this out, you can figure this out. So it really is for everyone, and even non-Christians who have never studied Bible prophecy before, I think they could pick this book up.
Well, I think you're absolutely on target there, that the average person thinks that Bible prophecy is just too complicated to get involved in, and even pastors, they'll often say, well, I'm not amillennial, premillennial, postmillennial, I'm just panmillennial.
Sure.
I believe it all pan out in the end,
right.
And I want to say you're too lazy to study, because if you'll study it, you can figure it out.
Right.
But it's really scary to people. And mm-hmm. I often, particularly the book of Revelation, I have people tell me, well, that's just scary.
Right.
But hey, it only has good news for believers.
Exactly right. What I've found is that when I study it, I get more hope and more joy.
There you go.
Yes.
But I think that's the enemy's. He's done a great job of getting people's eyes off of it, even though, like you mentioned, Revelation. It's the only book in Scripture that says you'll be blessed by reading this
Revelation
book.
Revelation 1:3, right.
And people
well,
stay away
hey,
from
let's
it.
Let's read it.
Yeah. I like right. how your prophet helps us get through the book, and you've got this illustration on the front of it there that mm-hmm. that labels the different parts about what makes a prophet. Because, you always have these pictures from childhood of a prophet with this long flowing beard and robe, and you got his eyebrows, and says, thick eyebrows, suitable for compassion or condemnation.
Yeah.
And his fall leather sandals.
Yeah,
Oh, foes. Yeah. And he says, I'm the nonprofit. And it's great because he walks you through the book, and I think we connect to him because, if you don't know Bible prophecy, you have all these preconceptions like this guy looks like. You have this preconception of what a prophet looks like. Well, we have preconceptions of Bible prophecy. So as soon as I saw this guy on the cover, man, I'm like, I got to read this book.
Yeah, it draws you into it.
Gotcha.
And I love the illustrations all the way through. I mentioned to you earlier when we were talking privately about one of the illustrations I liked in particular is one that where you're talking about Daniel, the book of Daniel, the Olivet Discourse of Jesus, and the book of Revelation. And you give three illustrations. Mm-hmm. And the illustration of Daniel is the picture of a big forest mm-hmm. from a distance. The picture of the Olivet Discourse, you've moved in and you see about five trees. In Revelation, you're right up to the tree trunk.
That's right.
Because one is giving you the overview, one is giving you more information, and then Revelation gives you the detail.
Yeah.
And that was a beautiful illustration.
Thank you. Yeah, throughout the book, I tried really hard to think through, like, all right, how can I convey this concept in a visual way that makes sense, that draws people in? And also, I think most people, part of the reason they get confused by Revelation is because they don't have that background of Daniel and all of that discourse. And, there obviously, Nathan, you and I were talking about this, that there's tons of stuff in the Old Testament, the prophets, the major minor prophets, even the Psalms that have prophetic stuff. But with this book, I was like, all right, what's the simplest way I can give them just the basics of what they need? And most people don't realize that Daniel is kind of the framework that Revelation sets in.
Yes.
So I really wanted to highlight that.
And you set off the statistics, which I like. They're not buried mm-hmm. in, if you want to know how much of Bible prophecy in big orange, it's 27 to 33. I learned how many verses in the Bible. I think I would have known that from Bible college.
Right.
But the 31,102, I think, the 10,000.
Right.
It really brings it. And you do charts here. A lot of times charts are so dull to read. Mm-hmm. And you kind of, I don't want to steal Veggie Tales, but Veggie-ize them, as they call it, because you make them all colorful and easy. And these quick facts. I did not know the Navy SEALs stand for sea, air, and land.
Okay.
So you learn more than just Bible prophecy in there, don't you?
Well, when I first started studying Bible prophecy in detail, Of course, I was reading it in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But then I began to pray, Lord, lead me to a book that will help me to better understand things. Mm-hmm. And I prayed that very specifically. And the first book, I don't even remember how I ran across it, was a book similar to this. It was a book entitled Revelation Illustrated and Made Plain by Tim LaHaye. Huh. And it was beautifully illustrated from beginning to end.
Okay.
And I really appreciate it. Then the next book that I ran across was the book that was published in 1921. What was his name?
Clarence Larkin.
Clarence Larkin.
Oh, all his beautiful
Clarence Larkin was a person who was trained as a draftsman. He tried to be a pastor, didn't do too well, and mm-hmm. he kept saying, Lord, I know you call me. What am I supposed to do? And the Lord said, you know, use the talent you have. So he sits down and he starts illustrating every book of the Bible in these magnificent illustrations. Mm-hmm. And that book is still in print today. I remember when I found that, I was just captivated by it, hour after hour looking through it. Those were the things that helped me to get deep into Bible prophecy was illustrations.
That's Do you fantastic. Have a target audience? And are you trying to target youth or kids?
For the book concept itself, I had to present a target audience, so I picked millennials just because they're visually driven. They're not typically going to pick up a thick book that has a lot of heavy words and stuff like that. That's just a generalization. But I wanted something that I could present to them that was visually driven. But what we found is that really, that's why they put the title Bible Prophecy for Everyone, because we found that all age groups, even my middle schooler, he just got finished reading it, and I was blown away without me even making him do it.
Yeah, we've discovered the same thing. Yeah. For example, Nathan is very, very anxious to reach out to young people, particularly to millennials and even teenagers, mm-hmm. and he has found that they have a very, very small attention span, and they're mainly attracted to visual things.
That's right.
So he's putting out a series of videos called inbox videos, because these are questions that come into his inbox, mm-hmm. and he's addressing those questions in videos that run about 5 minutes.
Yeah, those are fantastic. I've seen a few of those.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord.
It's a really and they're very creative and often very humorous. Mm-hmm. And so this is just wonderful, the way that you've used this to draw people into the book. And then the book is down to earth and easy to read and
easy to understand.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So not only do you have the illustrations, but your writing has done very, very well.
I worked hard at that because, in Christian circles, we often use Christianese, throw out big words and not really think about it and not mean to throw people off. But because of my background that I didn't grow up in church, I know what it feels like to come into something that's totally foreign with a language that's different than anything you've ever heard. Mm-hmm. So I really worked hard at trying to write it in a way that anybody could pick it up.
Well, when you start talking about Kileist and anti-Kileist and premillennial and postmillennial and amillennial, people think you're speaking in tongues. And so you have to be careful about that. It's like when I invite theologians to write articles for our magazine, and I tell them this is a magazine for the general public.
Right.
I still have to rewrite the article because of all of the technical language, like hermeneutics. And the average person's going to look at that and say, Herman who? I compliment you the way you have made this understandable to the average person. It's a real breakthrough, and it's wonderful.
Thank you so much. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Well, folks, we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the content of Todd's book.
Welcome back to Christ in Prophecy and our discussion with illustrator, cartoonist, and animator Todd Hampson. We're talking with Todd about his new book, The Nonprofit's Guide to the End Times. Well, let's get into content here.
Sure.
Tell us how you laid it out. Like, if you're trying to introduce Bible prophecy to everyone, what is the best way to lay it out, which I assume is what you did in your book?
Absolutely. I intentionally made the book as systematic as I could without letting them know it was systematic.
Okay.
But I start just with the basic question, what is Bible prophecy? Not assuming they know anything about it. And then I go a few questions deeper. And then in part two, I go into a little bit more specifics, like what some of the terms are, what the interpretation methods are, that kind of thing. So all along, I'm trying to lay the groundwork so that they can slowly but surely build confidence in the content and form their own convictions and slowly realize too, like, oh, I can understand this. I can figure this out. And then as you get further into it, then I present all the different views, and then I actually have a whole chapter on why I hold to the pre-trib view and the strengths of that view. And then the whole second half of the book really is the categories of the signs of the times. And then it ends with a chapter on how to receive Christ.
I love that. I love it when your books end, like Dr. Egg, all his books end.
Do they really? Yeah.
With the gospel message.
I'm in great company then. Because I really do want people, and I shared with y'all in the devotional time this morning, there's two specific people right now that I know of that are reading it, that are far from the Lord, that I'm praying he'll use it. And then the last chapter is what we talked about a little bit, the last segment, is just how to live with peace and hope and courage in this time, and how to let Bible prophecy, you know, foster that within us.
Okay. Yep. Well, you started off by asking, what is Bible prophecy? Mm-hmm. Tell us and throw some of those wonderfully animated statistics that you gave.
You bet. So Bible prophecy is basically God telling history in advance.
Okay.
The Bible is the only book that claims to be the Word of God, and it's the only book that has predictive prophecy to prove that it's the Word of
which
God.
Which led you to the Lord.
Which led me to the Lord.
It's also the only book that has fulfilled prophecy.
Yes, that's right. Exactly. And yeah. Very specific. They're not vague.
And
they're not
just
general.
About the Messiah, about cities, towns, nations, yep. empires, individuals yep. like Cyrus and others.
That's it. That's
how
exactly
much of
right.
the Bible is prophecy?
So a third of the Bible is prophecy.
Third. Okay.
So if people are disregarding prophecy, they're throwing out a third of the Bible. And in my
that's
opinion,
amazing.
I call it the central nervous system of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Every key story, every key piece of theology, and every key person all links back to Bible prophecy somehow. So if we throw that out, we're really doing ourselves and others a disservice.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Well, let me ask you something. One of the most controversial things in all of Bible prophecy is the whether or not the Lord's going to come back and reign on this earth for 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a church that said absolutely not. In fact, we were taught there's not one verse in the Bible that says he'll ever put his foot on the earth again. You
wow.
can imagine how shocked I was when I ran across Zechariah 14.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they said that. And that is the predominant viewpoint
yeah.
in all of Christendom today. Most people don't know that. Most people think that the premillennial view is the dominant, but it's not. The Catholic mm-hmm. Church is amillennial. Most denominations are amillennial. What is your position on that?
My position is that it is a literal 1,000-year reign after the tribulation period. And the main reason for that is I'm willing to let the Bible guide me to wherever truth leads. And all the Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled literally, or all the prophecies that have been fulfilled were fulfilled literally.
Yes.
So God's not suddenly going to switch gears and then fulfill it symbolically, you know?
Doesn't he say in Revelation 20, what, six times, a mm-hmm. 1,000 years, a 1,000 years?
Yeah.
So your interpretation of the Bible is literal.
It's a literal futurist interpretation. And in my opinion, it's the only consistent way to interpret Scripture from cover to cover.
Well, and again, another thing too is that most Christians don't read the Old Testament, don't study the Old Testament, don't know anything about the
yeah.
Old Testament. They think the only place in the Bible where there's a mention of the 1,000-year reign of Jesus is Revelation. But if you want to find out about mm-hmm. the reign of Jesus, you got to read the book of Isaiah, which is all about the end time reign. Revelation is primarily about the tribulation.
Yeah, that's right.
But I had a guy tell me one time, he says, well, I don't believe in that premillennial nonsense because it's only mentioned one time in the book of Revelation. And I said, well, even if it were only mentioned one time, that should be sufficient for
right.
you to believe that this is the Word of God.
Exactly.
Jabez is what, one, two verses? And yet they've written whole
yeah.
books on Jabez.
And sold a lot of those too.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I mean, when I talk to people, I'll be up front and tell them, especially if they come to me and they're saying, you know, I'm confused by the different views and how do you really know pre-mill, you know, pre-trib, pre-mill is really the one. And I'll say, okay, there's no chart in the Bible that lays out every single order for us. But when you do the work and use logic and compare Scripture with Scripture, you can put together a concrete overview of the basic order of events. I mean, we don't know every single detail of how it all takes place, but you can be confident that you can know we get raptured before the tribulation and the 1,000-year reign is a literal 1,000-year reign.
Well, one of the things you point out in the book is that there are no particular signs for the rapture where there are signs for the second coming.
Yeah.
And it seems that even though there are not any particular signs, nonetheless, as we look at the world today, we can see signs of the approaching tribulation and the second coming, and therefore the rapture must be around the corner.
Right.
And I've noticed that there are intense attacks on the pre-trib rapture concept today.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, I think Satan wants to completely discredit the concept of a pre-trib rapture. He
yeah.
wants people to live in constant fear.
That's right.
And so why do you come down on the side of a pre-trib rapture?
Well, it's funny you say that, mainly because I let Scripture speak for itself. And as I mentioned, I wanted to make sure I was firm in my convictions before I taught it in a book.
Yeah.
And I mean, I read, you know, Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series in the 90s. And from my first pastor that I mentioned to you, he was a solid pre-trib guy. And so that was kind of in me already, but I had never done a deep dive for myself to where I could really say confidently, this is the order, until I did those inductive Bible studies and really studied it for myself. And just to be honest, I mean, you can adopt somebody else's view, but until you really study it for yourself and say, God, lead me to truth wherever it leads, you know, let me put all my predispositions aside and let just truth of God's word guide me, you'll come to that conclusion.
Well, one of the, I guess, major points that people make when they attack the pre-trib rapture is they always say it's too new to be true. Mm-hmm. Came up in the 19th century, just out of nowhere, and it's just too new to be true. I thought it was very interesting that when Martin Luther came up with the concept that true salvation is by grace through faith and not by works, as the Roman Catholic Church was teaching, that the fundamental argument that the church offered against him when they brought him up for a trial, too new to be true. None of the popes ever taught this. None of the church fathers ever taught this. Yeah. And his response was very interesting. He said, well, it depends on what church fathers you're talking about. If you're talking about Jesus and John and Peter and Paul, they taught it.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And when I wrote the book, I wrote a whole chapter on all the different views. And then in that chapter, I explained, you know, the basic reasons why I hold to the pre-trib view. But that wasn't enough. I ended up adding a chapter on listing the five key things that to me are among the most convincing that the pre-trib is throughout Scripture, clear as a bell.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is that when they say it's too new to be true is the fact that for thousands of years, people did not have access to the Bible.
That's right.
And even if they had, they couldn't read it because the average person in the Middle Ages could not read or write. Yeah. And so you only had priests, and they had the Scriptures, and the church said, you can't, to the general public, you can't really understand it, so you've got to go by what we say. And so for 1,500 years, the Roman Catholic Church said, hey, Jesus never coming back to reign. There's not going to be any of that stuff. It's, you know, he's just going to come back, and we're going to go to heaven. That's it. And then when people finally got the Scriptures in their own language and they could afford to get a Bible, then suddenly people begin to say, hey, the Bible says this, the Bible says that, and so forth.
And I have a chart in there that I spent a lot of time on. It's probably the most complex chart in the book, but it shows that in visual form how in the first and second century, pre-trib was there. I mean, not just in Scripture, but also in some extra biblical writings.
Yeah, definitely.
And then during the Dark Ages, it was just dark. It was kept hidden.
Well, you have a cartoon that goes along with that on page 93. The nonprofit's there at the movie theater, and he's analyzing what he's seeing, and he's getting all this symbolism. I got to figure out it's a dream within a dream. The guy says, hey, that's just the production company logo. And it seems that's what the Middle Ages did. They took everything in the Bible since Augustine and spiritualized it into nonsense.
Oh, yeah. The true meaning was always beneath the surface, not on the surface.
Right.
But,
And isn't it interesting that after the Reformation, when people had the Word of God again, slowly over the next couple hundred years after that, the pre-trib started to kind of come more to light, the closer we got to Israel becoming a nation again.
Yes.
And to me, that also links up with the prophecy in the book of Daniel that says, in the end times, knowledge shall increase, people will run to and fro.
Well, and another thing that began to develop once people got the Bible in their own language is they began to say, hey, the Bible says in the end times, God's going to regather the Jewish people back into their land and this nation's going to be reestablished. Yeah. The Puritans were saying that.
That's right.
And people said, you're crazy. Yep. That'll never happen.
Mm-hmm. And then it happened.
Well, now that we got Israel coming back in the land, let's talk about the tribulation because that comes after the rapture.
Sure.
What then do you think is the purpose of the tribulation?
I believe Scripture teaches this thoroughly, is that the main reason for the tribulation is to win the people of Israel back to Christ. You know, the focus will shift from the church to the nation of Israel. Yeah. And if anybody questions that or thinks that God's done with Israel and the Jewish people, read Romans 9, 10, and 11. I mean, it is point, if you read that, I don't see how you could say God's done with the people of Israel.
In Old Testament times, whenever the Jewish people got in trouble, they would always run to Egypt for help or Assyria for help or whoever they could find that would help them. And today they run to the United States. But during the tribulation, there will be nobody for them to turn to. And when they finally realize there's no one, they're going to turn to God right at the end, and they're going to look upon him whom they've pierced and weep and wail and mourn, and they're going to repent, and a great remnant is going to be saved. What
Amen.
A glorious day that's going to be.
Absolutely.
Wow, I can hardly wait. Well, do you believe we're living in the season of the Lord's return, and if so, why?
I do, and in the book I talk about several sign categories. And yesterday, Nathan and I were having a conversation. I shared with him that when I first, this is a long answer to your short question, by the way, that as I was studying and getting ready for this book, one of the reasons was I was looking around in the world and just seeing, okay, something has shifted. It's gotten even worse. Things are crazy. The Mideast is going nuts. And I started looking for solid theologians that I respected and to see if they were saying that they're seeing signs of the end times. And that's how I first learned about you, Dr. Reagan. I came across a video of yours where you were unpacking that. And so I talk about that in the book. And I think I even have a quote from you in there somewhere. But anyway, so I believe, number one, Israel's in the land. So that's the super sign right there. That lets us know we're
entering the end times. That's the cornerstone end time prophecy.
Yeah, exactly. Nothing else really significant could happen without that being in place.
But then you bring up the chapter on
conversion.
Convergence.
Convergence.
What do you mean by convergence?
So every sign and every sign category and every stage setting event is all converging in our day. I mean, literally everything is at play right now at this moment. And to me, that's mind boggling.
Well, it certainly is, and it certainly should be convincing. Well, let me ask you this. So would you just take a moment to look right into that camera in front of you and tell people how they can get in touch with you, okay?
Sure thing. If you go to toddhampson.com, you can find information about my book and about me and about my ministry.
Okay, great. Well, we really appreciate you being here today. It's a blessing to us to have you in the
Likewise.
Studio. It's a blessing to us to emphasize this book because we want as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, to understand Bible prophecy and understand we're living in the season of the Lord's return. I had a fellow the other day said, "Wouldn't it have been exciting to live in Bible times?" I said, "Brother, you are living
right.
in Bible times."
This is it.
Well, folks, that's our program for this week. I want to invite you to be back with us next week. And until then, this is Dave Reagan speaking for Lamb and Lion Ministries saying, look up, be watchful, for our redemption is drawing near.
Todd Hampson's great book about end time Bible prophecy is available for a gift of $20 or more, including the cost of shipping. The book is 224 pages in length and is full of illustrations. In fact, there are more than 100 full-color charts, diagrams, and cartoons. It is a down-to-earth, easy-to-understand book that makes the study of Bible prophecy a delight. It clears away all the theological fog that often characterizes books about Bible prophecy, and it shows you how Bible prophecy is relevant to the way you live right here and now. And as a special bonus, when you order a copy of Todd's book, we will also send you a copy of Dr. Reagan's book, The Basics of Bible Prophecy. It contains 24 lessons on the fundamentals of Bible prophecy. It is also illustrated with charts and diagrams. It is a book for both ends of the Bible prophecy spectrum, for those who know little or nothing about Bible prophecy, and for those who know a lot and need a book to guide them in their teaching of prophecy. Place your order through our website at lamblion.com or call our office Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time at the number you see on the screen. Just ask for offer number 585. Again, both of these books can be yours for a donation of $20 or more, including the cost of shipping.
Thank you for joining us on today's Christ in Prophecy, a presentation of Lamb and Lion Ministries, a non-denominational ministry dedicated to teaching the fundamentals of biblical prophecy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus.